Afternoon on KTOO, where we are live and local. The time is 3:06. I'm Cheryl Snyder, today's hosts. Our first guests today are Colleen James and Lyle James, who both work with students at UAS. Colleen is the Student Equity and Multicultural Services Manager at UAS, and Lyle is a teacher in the school district and an adjunct professor at UAS this semester, teaching an oratory course to help students prepare for a very special event happening this weekend, which we're going to hear all about. Lyle and Colleen, thank you so much for joining us today.
Goodness, geez.
So why don't we first start, well, you're 5 weeks into the semester. How are your students doing so far?
Oh, my goodness. They are doing fantastic. We're actually coming up on midterms, so seeing the students' cheery faces, every once in a while we shed a tear because we know tests are coming up and papers, but they're doing good.
A little bit stressful.
Just a little stressed.
Yeah. And Lyle, how are your students doing?
They're doing good. They're coming up to the end of the course with me this weekend.
Well, let's talk about that. Maybe if we can first start with learning about Wuch'in, the club that's involved with this event this weekend.
Mm-hmm. Sure. So Wuch'in started the oratory, or actually, let me back up. Oratory was started by UAA, a professor there, and his name I just had on the tip.
Dan Henry,
thank you. Dan Henry started oratory, and he first brought it out at UAA, so they're a year ahead of us, and then brought it to our campus, and Wuch'in absorbed that event, and they have kept it going at our campus. It used to be a competition for most of oratory life. We're going on the 18th annual oratory event. But in the last, I'd say, 5 years, Wuch'in has been decolonizing the event so that it's more reflective of our cultural values, our native cultural values. And so instead of it being a competition, it's a platform for our students to share what they are most passionate about. And it could be anything that impacts the state of Alaska. And they work closely with faculty and staff, their elders. They work closely with family. They can cite sources such as an elder teaching. It could be a clan story, and they just have to cite how they have permission to share the story in order to enhance whatever their oratory is that they're bringing forward. And this year, what's really special is that we have four high school students from the LKSD region who are going to join our university students in this oratory, and still some of the things that we held on to from the oratory event when it first started is the 5 to 15 minute presentation time, the citing the sources, and the written feedback from leaders who are from our campus and around the community. So
it makes me think that the students, when they're going through this process, that it's also an opportunity to build some new relationships with elders and leaders in their community who they might not otherwise have had reason to reach out to.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Such a beautiful time. Our leaders that volunteer every year, they give such beautiful feedback. And sometimes some of their feedback includes how to connect with them beyond this event, for more mentoring. And it's really amazing. In fact, one of our elders, Della Cheney, will be with us. And she is just one of our favorite people because anytime she talks, it's just building you up. Anything that comes out of her mouth is just meant to lift you up. And so I'm so excited that she is available to work with us and our students. So, yeah.
So the event is Saturday, and it's open to the public. Can you give just some of the basic details of what people can expect and where do they go and when do they go?
Absolutely. So Saturday morning, this Saturday, the 29th, at our UAS campus next to the lake, We are the event is going to be hosted in the Egan Classroom Wing. And that, for people who are new to our campus, it's the building attached to the Egan Library. We're in the Glacier View Room, Egan 221. Why am I I'm spacing right now. We open our doors at 10:45 for all of our participants, both our volunteer people who are giving feedback, and then our presenters. They check in at 10:45, and then our event kicks off right at 11 a.m., and then oratory presentations should start about 11:20.
Okay. And Lyle, you've been working with the students in your class over the last several weeks. What can you tell us about the students who are involved this year?
They have selected some topics that are important to them and are using the outline for the showcase to shape the way they're going to present this weekend. Mm. You'll hear some students talk about how systems impact us as a state. And then you'll hear some students talk about our history and how things that are happening today were not part of the norm. And so the students have been really taking the time to research how to present this weekend.
Do you have a sense that the students are presenting on topics they've been thinking about for a long time? Or do you think that your class and this event on Saturday has really opened their mind to looking at themselves and their culture differently?
From what I noticed working with the students, they are presenting topics that have been on their mind for a while.
Mm-hmm. So what is your role as their teacher in this? How do you work with them? How do you help them pull these stories out and do the work?
We focus on the way they present so that they can feel confident when it comes to the day of the presentation. And so what we do is we bring in other presenters throughout Juneau. Like last weekend or 2 weekends ago, we had Brett Dillingham come in as a storyteller and talk about just presentations in general.
How to tell a good story, how to engage an audience.
That when they talk, it think about it like a story, mm-hmm. because it essentially is. It is their story.
How many students are you working with?
At this moment, I'm working with 7.
Okay. So we've got 7 from your class, and then we've got 4 high school students who are joining this year. So is that the full range of students who will present on Saturday?
We actually have 13 registered to present in the from 11:20 until probably like 2:10. So it's a lot of presentations in a short period of time.
Yeah. Are your students nervous? How are they feeling about Saturday?
Some are nervous because they may not have talked publicly in a while. But I feel pretty confident in them that they're going to do wonderful this weekend.
Yeah. And I'm sure your support and your confidence in them gives them a lot of a sense that they can get up and do this. That's great. So the theme is cultural values guide motivation. Can one of you speak to that, what you were thinking about when you came up with that theme?
Sure. Last summer, I attended a conference or an education summit, and one of the speakers, she gave such a powerful presentation, one of our keynotes. She was, I think she's from the University of Washington. And her presentation talked about Native student success. And you know, we mentioned earlier that Wuchin is in this, we're on this journey of decolonizing systems. And this event, which is their event, they have been working hard to identify when something in this event doesn't feel like it's a good fit with our cultural values. And so we have really deep conversations about why. And this presenter, she talked about Native student attainment. And when we're looking at systems and who's benefiting from education, healthcare, you name it, it's usually not any groups that are maybe experiencing marginalization. And that could be LGBTQ. It could be our Black community. It could be our Latino. It could be our Native community. And so what she was talking about had everything to do with cultural safety and equity in that if, for example, our hiring practices reflect the community that we're teaching to, if we have faculty and staff that represent or a reflection of, the students attending our campus, if our cultural values can influence the hiring, can impact how we hire, how we retain our faculty and staff, how we retain our students, then it's the cultural values that guide that motivation. And if we can look at the students and acknowledge their full self, their full identity, and if we as faculty and staff could be trained to acknowledge diversity and equity and inequities, then it might enhance, if we have this awareness, it would enhance how we serve our students, how we teach our students, how we support our students. And that means that we do look at how we teach math, science, how we teach anthropology with this awareness. And we're definitely, when it comes to Native students, for sure, we know that cultural values, if they can see themselves in the curriculum, if they can see themselves in a program, if they can see themselves in a community, then we know that there's inclusive action happening, and they're more likely to show up because they feel safe and they feel like the space has been prepared to invite many people. And so did I answer your question?
You answered a lot of things, which are so important. Okay. And so interesting to know that this is some of the thinking that's going on at the university right now, really shifting, as you're describing it, decolonization of so many of the programs to really truly make them reflect more of Native values and Native ways of approaching things.
If I could just add one more thing. The event itself, the theme, it just creates more space for our students to talk about the systems that are in dire need of repair. Education is okay. It could be better. And how we prepare our students, how we prepare our faculty and staff to meet our students where they're at, it could use some improvement always. And I think with this weekend's event, you're going to hear students talking about inclusive versus exclusive. We're going to talk about history. We're going to talk about women's rights. You're going to hear how part of healing includes not only being a student, but also this artist who's got to create regalia for a ceremony to bring a grandparent back into the culture since the time of boarding school. And I mean, you're going to hear these really powerful stories, and then the ask for change, and this is how we're going to do it. And they're not only going to identify problems, but they're also going to help identify solutions, attainable solutions. So anyway, Thank you.
Yeah. Do the students' presentation have a life outside of the one day presentation of them? Are they recorded at all, or are there scripts that are made available for people who might not be able to attend on Saturday but are really interested in what you're talking about and want to hear the students' voice?
You know, we used to record it and make it available, but the problem with recordings and making it available is that there's not always somebody there to help explain or unpack the student's presentation. Mm-hmm. And because there's a lot of sensitive information that's brought forward, we don't record it. However, students do have they have full ownership. If they want somebody to record for them or live stream their portion, they absolutely can. In fact, some have in the past. They have live streamed their presentations because their family and friends want to watch from their communities. But we don't do that anymore as a practice, just because the nature of the presentations, they're so personal and so powerful.
Yeah. Well, again, people who would like to join you can go to UAS on Saturday at 11.
Yes.
Egan Wing of the campus.
Yep. Glacier View Room.
Okay. And it's going on until, what time did you say? Till.
We'll be wrapping up by 2:30.
Okay, terrific. Anything else you want our audience to know about the event this weekend or anything else you're working on?
Join us. Be inspired.
Okay, well, terrific. Colleen James, Lyle James, thank you so much for the important work that you do in our community, and thanks for coming on the show to tell us about it.
Gnashish.
Gnashish.